It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Indeed, it is hump day, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and let's have a conversation. I thank each and every one of you for joining us. Each of you, you're treasured, you're valued today. Live with intention and purpose. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And thank you to this team that I get to work with, producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. My friends, we have a lot of work to do to understand these issues and to engage in this battle of ideas. That is, it is raging right now in Colorado and also in our country. And that is why we do this show, because first of all, you have to understand what's going on. And then we need to engage in this culture battle. And that is changing the hearts and minds of our neighbors and our friends and our family to understand that our country is really, our American idea is really under assault right now. And that we need to understand that and then engage in this battle of ideas that is raging. Producer Steve, it is Wednesday, hump day. Congratulations, you've made it this far.
Yes, and I believe there's a, you know, Wednesday starts with a W, and so does something else from one of your sponsors.
It's Wingsday
there
Wednesday
you go.
At Hooters Restaurant.
There you go.
And it's March Madness also at Hooters Restaurants. We're into the Final Four now. There were a couple of games last night, right?
Yeah, the Elite Eight looks like it wrapped up. Gonzaga over USC, UCLA, let's get it right, over Michigan. And that sets the stage for what's coming on Saturday, the 3rd of April, with the Final Four.
Right, and then the final game will be on Monday night. And so
yes.
For this time, there are specials. Either to-go specials, dine-in specials at Hooters Restaurants. You can, Wednesdays, you can buy 20 wings and get 10 for free. So be sure and check that out. Go to my website and click on the sponsor tab. You'll see all these great people that are sponsors of the show. Do business with them. I know them all and highly recommend them. And just click on the Hooters icon there, and it'll drop down all of the specials that they have. So, yes, it is Wednesday. It is Wingsday at Hooters, and definitely welcome to the show. There is so much going on. As you know, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And there is a lot of force going on out there right now, right? A lot of it is from a public policy standpoint. Much of it is unconstitutional. It is a direct affront upon individual rights, upon property rights. Those are bedrocks of the American idea. The American experiment has brought more people out of poverty. The idea of capitalism, as Rick Turnquist says, capitalism and fossil fuels and individual rights. We are taking it for granted. And because we're taking it for granted, it is it's in real danger right now, producer Steve.
Well, listening to you set up, you know, the whole basis of our show a while ago in terms of what's happening, I'm thinking, all right, our way of life, our system of government is under assault. And my first question is, why? Are they truly unhappy with the system that's in place, or is it just this quest for power and, you know, all the bad things that we've seen throughout the history of humankind? Which is it?
I think it really is the bad stuff that humankind is. It's really about power and dominance, and that is very difficult for people to understand, because that's the question. It's like, why would people want to destroy this great American idea? And for people that are striving for good, you just can't get your brain around it. But when I look at the headlines, I have conversations with different people out there about some of the stuff that is happening out there in culture. it's really mind-boggling. You can see that there is a real battle right now between good and evil. And what has been interesting is I think a lot of people, because we take so much for granted, I think a lot of people no longer really think that there is good and evil. But what we're seeing with many of these policies, how they hurt people, we are in an epic battle right now, Steve. It's a battle of ideas. And it's Holy Week. And I think maybe there's even kind of more stuff going on. We're seeing a direct assault upon Christianity. I remember I was with a number of girls just about 14 months ago. And I said, you know what? I think it's going to get pretty rough for Christians out there. And nobody really said anything. But my gosh, when you see Oral Roberts University, there are those that have wanted to, they were a Cinderella story in the NCAA basketball tournament, but they're a Bible-based college. And there's people that want to, I think the headline was, bounce them out of the NCAA because of their beliefs. This is no longer tolerance. I used to think about that when you see the word tolerance or coexist, I always felt that maybe they didn't mean everybody. And now we see that that's the case. However, America, the American idea, has been this big melting pot of individuals coming together. And you think about it, we've been tolerant of all these different cultures that come here. But the problem is that at some point in time, instead of appreciating each individual culture, but yet loving the American idea, something changed in our education system on that, Steve.
It did, because the people who are behind it know that that's one of the ways you get success in this endeavor is to attack the education system. So, hey, they're playing ball, hardball.
Well, they really are playing ball. And parents, you need to be parents and grandparents. It's more difficult for grandparents and aunts and uncles to make comments. I think it's difficult between grandparents and parents. I mean, you have to let parents be parents. However, I think it's important to have conversations about what is going on. But parents need to be parents. They need to watch what's going on. In our education system, we talked about it last week, our kids are falling behind in the critical things that make us competitive and give them the tools to be successes, and that's math and science and reading and critical thinking. And there's only a certain amount of hours in the school day. And we're paying, in America, I think we're second in the world on the amount that we pay on education. And I think we may need to reassess that, because a big portion of that money is not going into the classroom to the great teachers that we want to pay to teach our kids. It's going to administrators. And it's these administrators that are paid handsome sums plus pensions, and that they are really changing the curriculum. And we even saw it right here in Douglas County. There has been a movement to not focus on reading and writing and arithmetic and science, but instead bringing in this critical race theory, I call it the racism in industrial complex. I mean, there's all kinds of money that's being made on that. And then also the transgender industrial complex, to bring those curriculums in. Our kids are falling behind on a national level or an international level because of what's going on. So parents really need to be paying attention and be active in knowing what's going on in their schools, and demanding that the school day, that the kids are being taught reading and writing and arithmetic and science and critical thinking. We need to demand that in our education system, Steve.
Well, you just brought up Douglas County as an example, and I'm thinking when you said, well, here's what they think they want to do, and my first thought was, well, look what how the STEM schools are stepping up to fill the void.
They are, and charter schools, but then we continue to see assaults. We see, so what happens, though, is these industrial complexes, then they also go to They go to the legislature. You're seeing legislation come down the pike. You're seeing trying to influence school boards. And I know that it seems very overwhelming. And in a lot of ways, it is, because it seems like there's an attack on all fronts. But in Nazi Germany, they realized that if you could educate the kids early, if you could really get a hold of education at an early age, that you really have won the culture war, at least for that particular point in time. In the big scheme of things, Steve, these evil ideas really don't work out. In the big scheme of things, they don't. My concern is that people get hurt along the way, though.
Well, you use the term educate, and I'm thinking, is there a distinction between brainwashing and education?
There is, and there's a big difference between knowledge and wisdom as well, and there's a difference between happiness and joy, all kinds of things. But let's go to our inspiration. We're going to be talking with Amanda Hochmuth here in the third and fourth segment, and she is with the Denver Street School, and it is a charity that I have known for many, many years. They don't take any government money. And they are out there helping at-risk kids. And they also have Hope Academy, which is helping girls that have gone through significant trauma. And because it's Holy Week, I wanted to talk about the Christian perspective as well as some of these great charities. So we'll be talking with her in segments 3 and 4. But I was looking for inspirational quotes. And George Washington Carver, I remember, I have a book that I had as a kid about his life. And he was an American agricultural scientist and inventor who promoted alternative crops to cotton and methods to prevent soil depletion. He was the most prominent black scientist of the early 20th century. He was born in 1864 and he died in 1943. And this was a quote about compassion. He said, "How far you go in life depends on your being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and strong, because someday in your life you will have been all of these." And I did not realize that he had that was his quote, but that is a quote that I've loved for many years, Steve.
Well, just thinking of his qualifications, his work in soil preservation or keeping soil from being depleted. I mean, that's been with us since he did his research, but it'll be with us from here on out.
Well, and Steve, to that point, all of these critical things in our life, the left looks at things as just a finite pie, and that this is the way things are, and nothing can change. The American idea, the American ingenuity, realizes that with creativity and innovation, we can solve these problems. A prime example is hydraulic fracturing. And horizontal drilling in the fossil fuel industry. We became, before we had policy that was trying to shut it down, we have become energy independent, which has helped us on the world stage from a geopolitical standpoint. And it's because of creativity and innovation. When we talk about water shortages, water is so important. But unfortunately, it seems like we don't unleash, again, creativity and innovation. Instead, it's people that are in control. Their only answer is, you guys use less, although the elites, I'm sure that they don't change any of their habits. But I do believe with creativity and innovation, we can really solve any of these problems. And you can see that here with George Washington Carver. With soil depletion. I mean, take a look at the yields that we get off of land now, and we're able to feed the world because of that. So I think that I was really looking at the compassionate part of that quote, but also his creativity and innovation. We need to take heart with that as well. Steve, let's go to break. When we come back, let's go through some of these headlines, and then we'll talk to Amanda in segments 3 and 4.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is kimmunson.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And we're going to go to the bill of the day here. And it's so interesting, during the whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, we saw that some of these, some stores and different businesses did not accept cash. And I think one of the premises was, oh, there might be germs on there. Well, I think we've always known that there's germs all over. We live with germs. However, I could see something that I was very concerned about, and that was certainly we all love the convenience of paying with a credit or debit card. But the not taking cash could put us in a very dangerous position. I know that it seems kind of like a tin hat thing, but we need to actually connect the dots here, because it's not that far off. If you see, New York is actually rolling out a vaccine card that you would have to present to go to different venues, to travel, to do a variety of things. I find that's highly unconstitutional, and I find it also very terrifying. Fortunately, Ron DeSantis in Florida says we're not going to do that. Now, everybody that's moving to Florida because they like the freedom, make sure that they vote for freedom when they get there. But this is House Bill 21-1048, and the sponsors are Representative Valdez and Senator Rodriguez. And it's a bill that requires retail establishments that offer goods or services to accept United States currency, cash, to purchase the goods or services. And then it says it applies to some different establishments. But I think that this is really an important move. We need to have freedom of choice in how we pay things. Because if we only get to where we no longer can pay cash, you could start to see Big Brother say, oh, you can't do this. You can't buy this if you haven't done this. And I see big danger in that. And I know it sounds a little bit like a tin hat thing, Steve, but it's not. There are things that 5 years ago, it sounded kind of like tin hat things, and now they're happening. And so we need to make sure that we're always looking for freedom. And I really appreciate these are both representatives that they are bringing this forward. I think it's important, Steve.
Well, I'm trying to think of, you know, every one of these bills has some origin about it, something that's either not right, needs to be corrected, or somebody says, gee whiz, wouldn't this be great if we could do whatever. Is this because of the number of people, I won't say necessarily homeless people, but the people who just don't have, you know, credit cards?
Well, I think it is their reason for that. And I understand that, but I think in a bigger picture, it was going down a very dangerous road. So I do appreciate that, but I think that was their reasoning.
But then, okay, virus aside, just for a second, I'm thinking, okay, you know, I don't pay too much attention to this side of the fence, but the marijuana industry, basically they're a cash only deal, aren't they? And that, you know, I know like Ed Perlmutter from, you know, District 7, he keeps pushing. He wants to introduce banking for the marijuana industry. So we're this special interest type thing seems to be all over it.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. That's very interesting as well. Here, I'm looking at it from a different, totally different take on it. But I guess sometimes you can get to the right answer, but it may be for different reasons. You know what?
You have to take the long way around. This is Colorado.
That's true. That's true. I wanted to, let's go ahead to another. I just mentioned this. Governor Ron DeSantis says that he may take executive emergency action against, they're calling them these vaccine passports. And he says, we are not supportive of that. He says, I think it's something that people have certain freedoms and individual liberties to make decisions for themselves. It's completely unacceptable for either the government or the private sector to impose upon you the requirement that you show proof of vaccine to just simply to be able to participate in normal society. Good for Ron DeSantis on that, Steve.
Yeah, and it's funny. I think maybe more and more people, like, and you say this quite often, more and more people are waking up to needing to find out the full story. I ran across something just yesterday, and if you took it at face value, it made it sound like, oh, the airlines are definitely on board with this. And it turns out the original source story was about European airlines. Someone was quick to point out that the U.S. carriers have no interest at all in this type of a thing. But again, these broad-brushed attempts at putting out quote-unquote news, you really have to do your homework.
Well, and that is why we do the show. And Patty does such an amazing job on the research that she comes up with. And she called yesterday, we were doing a pre-call, and she said, Kim, would you like to take a guess at the number of flu deaths in the state of Washington this last year? And I'm like, she said zero. This is from Fox News. Can you believe it? It says no deaths from the flu have been reported in Washington state during the 2020-2021 season. No deaths. Can you believe that?
No, I cannot. And every conversation that I get into with people, we all have this burning question. Hey, what happened to influenza A and B? It seems to have disappeared. And you
yes,
know,
and
the reality of it, no, it didn't disappear. There's got to be something else to this story.
Well, and what I obviously what I think has happened is they took everything and they put it into the COVID death numbers so that they can scare the living daylights out of people. And then through that fear, they have all kinds of power. That's the problem with fear, is once you give in to fear, is then it and others can have power over you. So they have this fear. They're coming in with these vaccinations. Now they want to have forced vaccinations. In fact, Rutgers University is saying that all the students that go to Rutgers University this next year are going to have COVID vaccines. Well, you know what, Steve? The COVID vaccine has not been FDA tested. It is still under an emergency order. We still don't know the effects. The Epoch Times had reported that there was infertility challenges, that there was different health challenges with this. And you can see this. I mean, this has really gone down this slippery slope. So remember when you would turn on the television and they had the sports scores, the number of deaths, and it was like the debt clock. It would seem like it was just going up and up and up. Well, you know, you look at this and it really appears that they have put everything into that. But you know what, of course, they say is that it's because of masks and social distancing and staying home when you're sick. Well, no deaths, really no deaths from flu. I find that very hard to believe, Steve.
Well, I'm the type of guy who will always try to take a bit of information and make it relative to something else. And a year ago already, I was looking at the numbers from the previous season of flu-related deaths, what we just called basically deaths related to the influenza A or B. And it was always a substantial number, 50,000, 60,000 across the entire country, and trying to make it relative to what was happening with this new thing called COVID-19. And again, now to have these reports out there that, well, hey, the state of Washington, zero deaths from influenza. It's like, well, wait a minute. How did we drop whatever Washington's share of that bigger number was prior to COVID? How did we drop to zero?
Yeah, it's really impossible to go to zero deaths. But yet, and you see that, all these deaths are being put into the COVID numbers. And COVID is a thing, and we know that it's a thing. And I know a number of people that have had COVID, and they've said, we shut the economy down because of this. And yet I do know a couple of people that passed on because they had it as well. I think there were some underlying health conditions, but they might have passed on from the flu as well. I don't know for sure. But the point is I think that we haven't gotten the full story from these officials. And obviously, the fact that Washington State has zero flu deaths, that is, I think, statistically impossible to make that happen. I'm going to ask Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management what he thinks about that, because he's always looking at numbers and statistics. Is that possible, Jason?
Well, I guess so. I don't think there's been any deaths anywhere from anything except COVID for the last year. We seem to have cured every other ailment, so it's pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing. You know, when these people, these bureaucrats and politicians are not telling us the truth on one thing, I don't trust them on the other thing as well. And they're certainly trying to get their hands all over the financial markets as well. I think I saw a headline yesterday that said that Biden wants to reinstitute the death tax, and that anything over $1 million in an estate, that he's going to want to get his hands on that and tax that. Did you see that headline yet?
Yeah, I didn't see the exact number, but yeah, he wants to reinstate the estate tax. He wants to raise the taxes on corporations. He wants to raise the capital gains tax. They're talking about, you know, putting a small tax on every trade if they can do it. So they're looking at the financial markets just like they're looking at anything else that lives, breathes, swims, flies, or exists to get taxes out of. So the markets are not excluded from that, Kim.
Has the market responded to the futures or anything to this, or is, what are you seeing?
No, because I don't think it's any kind of a surprise whatsoever. So, I mean, the Dow futures are down like 15 points. There isn't any giant reaction to it because, again, it's not like that came out of left field and surprised the market. In fact, it might have been surprised it wasn't worse.
Yeah, well, once they get their hands on a tax, you can be guaranteed that if that tax, they're going to try to make that go up. That is why if people need to sit down with you. You not only have risks in markets, you've got public policy. It's a lot to keep your head around, and that is something that you watch every day, Jason McBride.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to keep track of, and, you know, it's easy to get distracted as well. So I always kind of say worry more about your own personal economy, which is the investments you own and your own investment plan, than everything that's going on and around you all the time, because it's easy to get distracted and take your eye off the ball or take your eye off the prize, which is your own investments and your own needs and plan.
Well, that is really important, Jason. You're an expert at that. How can people reach out to you to do a discovery session?
Yeah, Kim, very, very easy. And we are open for business, for face-to-face. So come on in. Nothing's weird. Give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
And Jason McBride, you said when people meet you in person, they see that you have some gray hair. So you've earned those because you've been in this business for a long time.
You know, Kim, you don't have to mention that on every spot we do. You know, once or twice.
Okay.
Jason, just get used to it. She's either hammering me on my age or you and your hair. So that's just the way it is.
You know, and then she makes us get up this early, too.
I know it, but it's good. Then that way you've got the day ahead of you. So Jason McBride, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Bye-bye, Kim.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Amanda Hockmuth. She's doing such great work with the Denver Street School, and I think it's important. You'll love to hear what she's doing. We'll be right back.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Oh, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Amanda Hockmuth, and she is with the Denver Street School. I've known her for a number of years. I know of the work that they're doing. And since it's Holy Week, Easter is this Sunday, I wanted to highlight some great charities, talk about our Christian principles. And I thought, Amanda, they're just doing such great work. Let's talk to her. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you doing?
I am well, and I'm so excited to have this conversation. Denver Street School does not take any government money, but is doing such important work. And it's been an interesting year. It's been a tough year. My friend and the founder of Denver Street School passed on during this COVID shutdown and all, and that was very heartbreaking. But you guys are still out there doing his work.
Yeah, you know, last year was a tough year. It was a tough year for, you know, the kids of our community. And, you know, it really has been amazing, though, to watch the grit and perseverance of some of our students and the way that they've navigated. You know, Kim, in the first week of the pandemic, when life really changed about a year ago, like you mentioned, our founder had passed away from a pancreatic cancer that he had been battling. And also, we had to go into shutdown, and we had to send our students on Zoom, just like, you know, education around the country. But our students, the gaps that they were dealing with in their home life when it came to now the food struggles that they're going to have, the toiletries that we're all trying to figure out, in addition to just trying to figure out how to now use technology at home. A lot of them didn't have laptops set up. And so it became the Denver Street School's mission to wrap our arms around our students, not just educationally, but to really come alongside them in every aspect that we do to make sure that we were loving, caring for them, and working for their success.
Well, and tell us a little bit. A lot of the kids that are attending Denver Street School have been through some really tough circumstances in their lives. So add on to this all the reaction to this whole Wuhan virus thing. It had to be really, really difficult. But so they're not in a real, many times they're not in a real supportive situation at home anyway. So this had to be super challenging for you guys.
It was absolutely challenging. Just watching some of the students with their, you know, everything from mental health to addiction to, you know, abuse calls that have gone up so high in our city. And so it really was challenging for a lot of them. In the other hand, it was amazing to see how some of them just rose to the occasion when we were able to get back into classes, watching some of our students working night shifts, taking their, you know, working with their brothers and sisters that needed to get education and that were also learning at home and also graduating. I have one student in mind, Michael, who just worked so hard at the end of the school year, just making sure that he could graduate with his class in 2020.
And did you have virtual graduations, or how did that work for these kids,
Amanda? No, we were able to do some social distancing graduations. We did, however, end up doing some caravan drive-by award celebrations where we drove around the city, and went to our students' houses, and in their front yards were able to individually recognize and speak truth over their lives of what we saw in them. And just giving them everything, you know, just bringing the award celebration to them, basically.
Amanda, the work that you are doing with Denver Street School, it really is giving these kids hope. And I remember that we had actually done an interview when you had brought in one of your students, and he had been in very difficult. Yeah, and I mean, he had been considering, I think, bad choices. Let me just put it that way. And here with Denver Street School, what happened? He was going to go to college, I think, the last time that we had talked. How is he doing, or do you know?
You know, he's doing great, actually. He is rocking it right now in college. You know, after graduation, he did spend a few years working in the industry of, you know, computers, working on Geek Squad, doing different things. But he actually now is in college for computer science and rocking it. So he is doing fantastic. We are so incredibly proud of Mark and the journey that he that he is on. I reached out to him yesterday and am looking forward to even more of a current one-on-one update to find out what is going on and how he's loving computer school.
Well, I did a quote at the beginning of the show from George Washington Carver, and I was looking for compassionate quotes because you were going to be on, because that is, I think, one of the important aspects of being a human is compassion for others, and to understand that. And the compassion that you have there at Denver Street School, you don't take any government money. Tell us about that, because when I first started to hear government grants, I didn't understand that basically government was getting into the charity business. And it makes it difficult to compete against government when you're looking for funds and to not take those grants. And there's very few organizations out there that doesn't take government money. But once you take government money, it's like taking money from your mother-in-law. Then you have to do what she says. Tell us about your funding source, because I think it's remarkable, and I really appreciate that you do not take government money.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, and gosh, core to our mission, you know, is to be able to pray with our students, being able to walk with them, being able to help address what is actually going on in their life. And so to receive government funding would be to greatly water down our mission and what we are trying to do in the lives of at-risk students in our city. And so, yes, like you mentioned, you know, 70% of our budget actually is coming from individuals in our community that are standing with us and saying, no, we want to make a difference in these young kids' lives that are working towards their future. We want them to hear about Jesus. We want them to be in safe classrooms. We want them to get a quality education and an accredited high school diploma and go on with a hope for their future, like students like Mark. And so, yeah, it is very important to us that we trust our mighty living God to bring about the partners that are going to stand with us in this great work. And accepting government funding would be rolling over on core values that we have.
How do you think that we can walk that back in our society, Amanda? Because I remember I was on the board of a nonprofit that was Christian-based, but yet they took a significant amount of government money. And I realized that the mission was moving from a Christian focus to a secular focus. And it was very troubling to me to see that happen. And that has happened a lot in America. And I think also when government gets involved in charity, people then start to say, well, gosh, I'm getting taxed so much and government's going to do that. I think that that's really an unhealthy way to address the human challenges that we have in our society.
Yeah, you know, I think organizations have, I mean, just like us as individuals, have decisions to make. And I think, you know, some may go through ebbs and flows, just like we do in our lives. And I think that, you know, hopefully the organizations that maybe are swinging a little bit too far in receiving government funding will hopefully swing back and realize, you know, this isn't worth it. This isn't worth it to the core values that we have, especially if one of those core values is talking about Jesus Christ and being able to communicate who he is to the broken that they're working with. And so I think, you know, for a lot of leadership on nonprofit teams, it's a big question, especially if you're looking at the bank balance and there is some lofty government grant that could be received. It's definitely a time to really, for your faith to be in action and for you to, you know, really look at your core mission and values and what you believe in and why you're there in the first place. And so, you know, I'm not sure as far as on a global scale, but I think that probably the biggest would be to really look at, you know, your faith and who is the founder, the true founder of your organization. Is it man or is it God? And if it's God, then he is going to make it prevail regardless of, you know, the funding source.
Well, and I think that I hear emotion in your voice because last year had to be, I mean, it was challenging across the spectrum, but I could only think of these at-risk kids that have been going to Denver Street School. I can just feel the emotion and the challenges that you have gone through. And would you say that your faith has increased over this last year, Amanda?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just seeing personally and as an organization, watching the goodness of God, watching students rise up, and just really seeing how God uses all things for good. And so, yes, I definitely would agree that my faith has increased. And coming out of, you know, 2020 as a stronger woman, and I believe also a stronger organization to stand with these students. And honestly, watching these students and their new level of excitement to be in the classroom, their new level of understanding of the role that the Denver Street School is playing in their life has definitely been, you know, an encouraging faith building as well.
And what about curriculum? Are you doing reading, writing, math, science? What's the curriculum that you are doing? And I think critical thinking, those things are really important to me as a parent and as a community member. What about curriculum?
Yeah, so we are working with the students. You know, the teachers and the educational team are always looking at what is the best way to work with the students that we have. And so in addition to the core curriculum that we have, we really ask the teachers, the brilliant minds of innovators that we have on our team to really come with the passions and the unique specialties that they have and integrate those into the classroom to work with the individual students. In addition, we had a donor sponsor one of our, a Dave Ramsey course, actually, for teens. And so it has been very, very awesome to watch how the students have responded to the curriculum, the Dave Ramsey curriculum, as far as critical thinking, understanding money, understanding savings. One of the students the other day actually shared with the teacher, she said, you know, this class has been amazing. Did you know I go home and I tell my mom the stuff going on in the classroom? She now has an emergency fund set up, and she's working on, you know, setting up the, you know, working the steps. And so it's been really cool to even watch the ripple effect of some of the new skills that the students are learning in critical thinking. And, you know, how is my money going to work for me in the future? Is this worth it, or is this other good worth my hard-earned money? And so teaching the value of that, we actually have a question we had a monthly donor gathering last night for our incredible monthly partners that stand with us. And we asked them the question of, what would, if you were to tell yourself something from when you were a teenager, what would that be? And so, you know, asking donors to speak into that so that we can speak that over our students, giving them an idea. And so just helping everybody critical think, you know, about their lives, and also just infusing that into the classroom.
And one other thing on critical thinking, don't you think that that also includes introspection, Amanda?
Absolutely. Yes. You have to be able to look at your life and look at the larger scale of the world and your values and how those two meet.
Well, hey, let's go to break, Amanda. When we come back, I'd also like to talk about Hope Academy. If people want to become a donor to the Denver Street School, how can they do that, though?
Yep, denverstreetschool.org, and there's going to be a lot of donate options right there. So denverstreetschool.org.
Okay, well, stay tuned because we're going to talk about Hope Academy with Amanda Hockmuth as well. But before we go to that, I got a message from a listener, Ken. He said, I stopped by Castlegate Knife coming home from Pueblo. I bought a knife. What a selection. And thank you so much, Ken. And yes, I would recommend that people take a trip down to Sedalia and check out Castlegate Knife and Tool. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And whether or not you're a chef or a collector or a sportsman, Castlegate Knife and Tool has the knife for you. Go to castlegate.com for more information. That's castlegate.com. And we'll be right back with Amanda Hockmuth.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson. Sunday afternoons at 3 here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the airwaves. I so appreciate you. It is very important with all that is going on with cancel culture and censorship out there that we speak truth and clarity into these issues. And I thank each and every one of you for doing that. On the line with me is Amanda Hockmuth, and she is with the Denver Street School. And I am truly inspired by, I always am every time I see you, Amanda, with your passion for, and your compassion for the kids that you're helping. But part of Denver Street School is Hope Academy. And tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, so just a little history. So in 1985, Tom Tillipaw came and started the Denver Street School with the mission of bringing hope and a second chance and the love of Christ to at-risk students in our city through quality education and a safe environment and a supportive network of loving and caring adults. And so in 2015, so we have had schools across the city since 1985 when it was founded. But in 2000s, Tom started realizing that there were there was another group of at-risk students that was on the rise, and that was students and specifically for us, girls that were coming out of severe sexual exploitation, sexual trauma, abuse, and trafficking. And we found out that there was a great need to have a day treatment program for these young ladies that were being identified as victims of sexual exploitation and trafficking. And so in 2015, we founded Hope Academy in response to the national crisis of human trafficking to be able to be a safe place, just like Denver Street School has been for at-risk youth in our city. But this is specifically, Hope Academy is a specific campus for young ladies, 14 to 18, that have been identified a lot of times by the FBI or law enforcement as victims of sexual trauma and exploitation.
And this is, it's astonishing. This is, you say this is on the rise. And another one of my friends, Andy Berger, had founded Beulah Place up in Oregon, or Beulah's Place in Oregon, but has started an organization regarding Voices Against Trafficking. And I'm honored that we are one of the charter media members of this particular organization. But I'm astonished and heartbroken that this is something that is on the rise. Do you think that there's more of this going on than there was, say, 40 years ago, or was it just kind of hidden? Or do you know? I know that's a tough question.
That is an interesting question, and probably one that we could introspect about and look and, you know, wonder how much of it is just publicized now, how much of it is being looked into, and, you know, how much, you know, I would say probably, you know, sexual abuse and trauma probably always been a part of, you know, our culture. I think that specifically
in every culture, probably every culture, right?
Because yeah. Yeah. And so sex trafficking, though, where there's actually money being exchanged hands explicitly for, you know, an act of sex by a minor, that's definitely on the rise. And especially looking at, you know, the numbers of, you know, victims being identified.
Well, and I feel as a society, we need to be protecting our children. And one of the things, I'd actually had coffee with Tom Tillipaw before he had passed on, and we were talking about this thing called grooming, and I feel that with a lot of this curriculum that is going on, that's being pushed onto our school systems, with all this different sex education and actually making a law, you have to talk about sex acts and things like that. I actually feel that that is a type of grooming that's happening in our school curriculum. Do you have a thought on that?
Yeah, you know, I think that just at large, the over-sexualization and focusing on that as such a source of freedom and core identity, instead of, you know, focusing on, you know, the identity that we have in Christ, I think that absolutely is going to, you know, lead to, you know, the sexual desires, that those evil sexual desires that a lot of people struggle with. And I think that leading them and enticing them and opening up the mind and let's explore and let's dive deeper into this area. So the over-sexualization and the over-emphasis without the understanding of the biblical framework and why God set that up for the love of his children, I think absolutely anytime that conversation is dived into without, you know, just the deeper understanding of what our sexuality is, I think absolutely is going to lead to a deeper curiosity and look at what the culture is teaching us all around us. And when the, you know, education goes into mainstream culture, absolutely.
Well, and you mentioned the word freedom, and that is something that I found has been very frustrating, is that many times things that are good, freedom, can also be things that can be not good. And so when you said freedom, in relation to that, I don't think you meant the good kind of freedom. I think you meant the kind of freedom that you need to have responsibility. My good friend Ben Martin says that liberty, which America was founded on, is freedom with responsibility. And just freedom to do anything, that is not the freedom that America was founded on, Amanda, correct?
Right. Freedom is a beautiful thing. Freedom in Christ, freedom in America, our freedom of speech, freedom is a beautiful thing. I think that, yes, there's probably a much better word than freedom to have used in that that context, just looking at, you know, just the deep dive that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm. What do we, and this is a big, big question, what do we do about this in America, the over-sexualization of our children, and how do we protect them? I know that that's probably a question that you think about all the time, but it's a big, big question. Do you have any ideas on what we should do?
Speaking truth over our children's identity. I know that we definitely at the school, that is very important to us. All the messages that are being received by our children, you know, at culture at large, and even by some parents, you know, that are speaking, you know, lies over children. I think that the important thing is to speak truth over our children's identity, who they really are, and to speak into those important places and calling out who they really are.
And I think that really is important. We've got just a couple of minutes left, Amanda. And what's the final thought that you want to leave with listeners? And also, if people want to help you, they can, if they contribute to Denver Street School, they're also helping with Hope Academy, or are those separate? How does
Absolutely.
That work?
Absolutely. Denver Street School is one 501c3 with two campuses right now in the Denver metro area that are serving at-risk students in our city. One is a larger campus working with, you know, all of the at-risk students, and we have Hope Academy, which is specialized working with young girls coming out of trafficking.
Well, Amanda, so go ahead. You have a minute.
I would say, you know, with the final thought that you had mentioned, we can all make a difference. When we speak truth over people, when we acknowledge them, when we see them in the situations they are in and call them higher, I think that each and every single one of us every day is empowered to live out the gospel and to live out speaking truth over people's identities and who they really are.
And when we talk about who they really are, they are an individual that is loved by Christ. And when we think about that during this Easter time, it's like the question is, how much does he love me? And then his outstretched arms on the cross show, you know, limitless. And that is for each and every individual. And that is the beauty of this Easter season. Yeah. Amanda, thank you so much for joining me. And again, I'd recommend that you give to Denver Street School. You're guaranteed that your money is going to a really great cause. So happy Easter to you, Amanda.
Happy Easter to you. Thank you, Kim.
And our quote for today is from George Washington Carver. He said, "Education, in the broadest of truest sense, will make an individual seek to help all people, regardless of race, regardless of color, regardless of condition." My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you. And God bless America.